Welcome to the simulation hosted by Synthetic Esports. Today we have our first guest, Chief.
Hey, who's this guy? Oh, wait, it's me. I'm Chief. Hello, friends. I'm so good to be here. I'm happy to be back with you guys.
How are you doing today, Chief?
Honestly, absolutely phenomenal. And well, it's always good to be talking about Siege or anything along these lines, even if I'm not casting, so I can't complain.
All right, so today we'll be handling just some basic topics with you. We'll be asking you a bit about your background, a bit about what you're currently doing, and then maybe some personal stuff if that's okay with you.
Cheers, sounds like fun.
All right, I guess we might as well jump right in. So give us your background of Siege, gaming in general. What did little three-year-old Chief do?
So back in the day, I'm a boomer. I think I'm considerably older than you guys, so that's totally fine. I started somewhere in Source or in Pro Mod, which maybe sounds like really long time ago. That was COD 4, the pro build there. I can't remember what I did first because I know I had a PC and I was playing Source and I didn't have an Xbox 360 at the time. So I wasn't really doing a lot of Pro Mod. I can't even remember if Pro Mod was on 360 or if it was on PC. That's just how long ago it was. That was like, what, back in 2008? I think Source came in 2006.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back then.
I mean, yeah, I remember playing that, you know, back in the day with my brother. He's 4 years older than me, so you know, he'd show me how to play, and then I'd miss every shot. So, you know, even compared to everybody else in the Tier 3 scene, you know, I feel like a grandpa, and I'm only into my early 20s.
Yeah, I'm in my mids now, but I mean, yeah, it was such a different world where it felt like it was a smaller world, but Siege Comp is also a small world, but maybe just because I'm so old, it just feels completely different. But like, I've always been drawn to comp, which is why I was playing Source and also playing Pro Mod. And then like that also went over to like MW2 because, you know, everybody and their mother had, you know, a comp team or, you know, emulating FaZe in some regards because I participated in that, right? 360, no scope, YY cancels with the intervention. Yes, please. I was part of that crew for the longest time. Yep,
I still have my my Xbox is still named after it. It's IGX Hazards, you know, the inbound gaming clan that me and my brother made.
You know, yeah.
The good old days.
Well, the more X's you put in front of your name and after your name, that means how many trick shots you can hit, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how many 360s you can do.
Yeah, you got to get the double YY attack insert cancel, you know, all, hit everything.
Yep. Oh, man, those were the boomer days. And the crazy thing to me is, like, most of these kids never participated in that. Like, I think their first COD showing was, like, Black Ops 2
or
Black
Ghost.
Ops 3 or Ghost and, like, man, those were different games. Like, I mean, Black Ops 2 was my bread and butter, and we'll talk about that game in a little bit. But, oh, man, that's probably my favorite Call of Duty game of all times. So that's a hot take right there in itself. Yeah.
So, were you more of an Xbox or a PlayStation man?
Oh, like, Xbox. Die hard all the way.
Have you ever had a PlayStation?
I'm no Sony pony.
Personally, I mean, I've had anything from the DS all the way to like the PS4, so I'm pretty open in that regard.
You're an avid gamer.
Yes. I guess so. Yeah.
I mean, say the same for myself.
I had a PlayStation 3, but I didn't get that. That was my stepdad's.
When I didn't have my Xbox,
you know, I had to go to the PlayStation. Never had as much fun on the PlayStation as the Xbox, that's for sure.
Yeah, don't want to say this, but on Xbox, I never even played COD. I only played Halo.
Get him out of here. Fire
Halo's
him.
Halo's the All only right. thing you need to play if you have Xbox. So, I mean, like, Halo 3, pinnacle.
Halo, my pinnacle. First Halo game, Halo 3.
That was the first ODST. Game I played competitive, was Halo
oh,
3.
Halo.
Oh, I only
Halo
played campaign. 3, baby. I only played the campaign. I didn't have the gold.
I played way too much multiplayer on Halo 3. What about you, Chief?
I played all the Halos, but I guess we'll continue with the origin story and we'll get to my Halo experience. But I played a little bit of Black Ops 1, and one of my buddies had a JTAG Xbox, and I was doing the grind, you know, the first month grind where you try to, you know, hit Prestige or level 100 or Prestige 10 or whatever it was back in the day. And I was always participating and always trying to grind. I always wanted to be one of the first people to achieve that goal. Obviously, I wasn't one of those weirdos that had like 7 different people playing an account, you know, grinding 24/7. Mm-hmm. But like, I always was trying to be one of the first solos to reach that goal. And I was like Prestige 5 or 7. It doesn't really matter. And my friend with the JTAG Xbox just like, ha, you have all that accomplishments. You did all that hard work. And he reset me. I raged so hard out of Black Ops that I went all the way to Halo Reach at the time, and I grinded Halo Reach, and it was one of my longest, like, most hours put into a game, and I almost hit, what was it, Inheritor? Or maybe I was Inheritor.
Yeah, isn't that the highest rank Inheritor?
Yeah. Nevertheless, like, I grinded that game. So that was my Halo. I love Reach. Reach has such a special place in my heart. Love the game. Like, it's such a nostalgic game. You know, like, sometimes if I'm, like, doing work, I'll have, like, the Halo Reach soundtrack playing in the background, and it just gets you hyped up, and it's like, all right, time to network with some people! Woo!
I might have to throw hands with you on that one, man. Halo 3, way better. Years better than Halo Reach could ever be.
I mean,
all
campaign?
My friends started playing Halo Reach, well, mostly multiplayer. The campaign on Reach was good, I can admit that.
Yep.
But multiplayer, like, my friends all started playing Halo because I played with my brother's friends, so they're all, like, older, so they played 3 all the time. And then my buddies all got their Xboxes when Reach came out, and they're like, man, Reach is so much fun. I'm like, guys, you don't even know how good Halo 3 was. I mean, the only thing I liked in Reach was how customizable Forge was. And SWAT was the only good multiplayer, like, competitive thing that I could play on Halo Reach because of the DMR.
I was a nerd for helmets and armors and stuff. Like, that's all I wanted.
That was amazing.
You had pestilence and you had the electric stuff that surrounded your body. I was like 10-year-old mayor, however old I was, maybe 13.
I remember grinding for, what was it, Grunt Birthday Party. So when you got headshot in multiplayer, the little... came out, you know.
Yeah, no, personally, I mean, I wasn't involved too much in multiplayer games until I switched over to PC. So when did you switch over to PC?
My transition to PC hasn't been that long ago. I mean, my retransition, because I started on PC, went to Xbox, and I came back. I came back either February of 2018 or 2019. So my PC experience has been pretty vanilla so far. But yeah, we'll get to that origin story eventually, because that kind of transitions into playing comp and casting.
Mm-hmm.
To wrap up the Call of Duty side, Black Ops 2 and MW3 were kind of my bread and butter. That's where I started to actually get competitive, participating in, you know, running the MLG Gambit. If you were playing at that time, you played against me and my stack at least one point, which is where everybody started, right? Those were all the gunners and all the pro players were at the time, because there wasn't a T3 scene. But I honestly wish I put the dedication into Black Ops 2 as I did into Siege, because I think I would have been a completely different game. For reference, it was the only COD where I could maintain on the top 100 leaderboard the entire life cycle of the game. You know, they didn't have champion rank, but they had, it was a green logo, and I can't remember what it was, but I would constantly sit at, like, the 80th mark there, and I still have screenshots on my old Mac, and I could probably pull them up at the time, like, but all the names you see are pro players, and then you just see this random guy named Coffee, and it's like, ha, 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 ha. that was my one, that's where I peaked. I ascended in Black Ops 2, and everything was downhill after that.
Just hey, at least you hit the peak at one point, you know?
Yeah, I peaked and it just died after that.
I was once good at CSGO. I hit my peak in normal matchmaking at Global, and then I dropped because it was all cheaters. So, and then I quit the game, you know? But, you know, at least you had some leaderboards to show you that you were at the top.
I don't have as many accolades, I guess, in that regard. My peak in CS would be Gold Nova 1.
Oh, I mean, that's difficult. I mean, honestly, when I started playing Silver, that is hell right there. It is, like, impossible to get out of Silver.
It was not fun, especially solo queuing when you're a 13-year-old idiot, just toxic at everyone. Like, it was...
Just run the Negev. Oh. That's all you do.
Oh, Negev, but this was before the buff. This was, like, the Negev was, like, $5,000, and it was absolutely terrible.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was... You couldn't crutch on that anymore.
Yeah,
it was op or nothing,
or the auto sniper cough.
Oh, what does that mean? That seems like you're trying to throw some shade at somebody in this call right now.
Almost as if someone in this call is an expert in that regard. When it comes to that.
Oh boy, I wonder who that is.
Couldn't be me. No clue. Anyways,
yeah.
So I guess, so obviously you came from COD, you came from console. Yep. When did you get into Siege? Was that on console or did you get into Siege on PC?
So my last COD I really played, I can't remember if it was Infinite Warfare. I believe it was Infinite Warfare. And it was the first Call of Duty where I couldn't maintain a 2.0 KD. I think I was like Prestige 5 and I dropped below the 2.0 KD. I've never uninstalled a game so quickly. I basically bounced around between games, mostly playing like Battlefield 4, even though there's other Battlefields out at the time. And then I watched Achievement Hunter play both the Rocket League beta. Maybe it wasn't the beta for Rocket League, but it was the Siege beta. And I was hooked on both of those games. So I immediately got them and just started playing it right away. Like, I was addicted to both of those games, just going back and forth. And I've been just a Siege hedge ever since. Siege was always number one, and then Rocket League was always second, up until Operation Health, where I started to grind Rocket League again really hard. But came back to Siege because I just loved the game. And that's when I started to get the competitive bug. Tried to do some things on Xbox competitively, but it just wasn't, I wasn't getting it. I couldn't get into competitive. So I was like, I'm making some decent money right now. I can buy a PC. So I bought a PC and I built my own PC. And then literally the next day I went into Discord, started to market myself, recruit myself. I was watching Pro League for a while. I had a very good understanding of strategy, and that's actually what made me such a good COD player. Was, I think, before we even had the term IGL, I don't think we were running that. I was always trying to be the in-game leader. I was always trying to orchestrate strategies on the fly. It's very natural for me. I'm a very, very analytical person. I work in the finance industry, after all, so numbers and statistics and things are kind of my home. So that's actually probably what made me so lethal in COD. And when I was picked up by my first team as Unknown Gaming, and if you're from SEL, that should ring a bell to you. But I was participating on one of their rosters as the IGL, as a support player, and my aim was doo-doo. My God, I was terrible. I could lead the team, but Jesus Christ, I sucked.
So what I'm hearing is you're the Fabian of North America?
It took me a while to be like, I was like the call out of NA. Where I just couldn't hit the broadside of a barn with Maestro. And so I'm incredibly competitive person. Like, competition is my bread and butter. Like, honestly, to a fault, I'm too competitive. Like, I take things way too seriously in competition. And because of that, I was like, I'm getting better at this game. Like, at least mechanically wise. I understood the principles. I understood the concepts. But making the transition from controller to mouse and keyboard was hard. Because I even came from PC like 10 years ago before. My mouse hand and my keyboard hand were not communicating. Like, tapping away on the keyboard was awkward and weird. So I just grinded T-Hunts. I grinded Aim Labs. I wanted to be better. Like, I had to be better if I wanted to compete, you know? And I worked my hardest to achieve something. That was kind of my origin story of working my way into the Comm Siege.
Hey, you had a better story than me. My
experience in Rainbow Six comp was coming over during Operation Health onto PC from Xbox, and I logged into my ESEA account and I looked, and I had one post with like 30 comments saying, "Hey, I'm new to PC. I'm looking to get a squad together to play like Go Fours and stuff, and I'm looking." And it was just like the most embarrassing thing. I'm like hard stuck silver at the time, you know, like trying to go into comp. And
everyone's gotta start somewhere, though.
You know, yeah. Now I'm hard stuck gold, baby.
I guess
big moves.
I guess my story is a little bit more exciting than yours today. Maybe.
Oh damn.
So I started in, oh boy, Velvet Shell was when I bought the game, or I bought it before then, and my PC was broken, and I fixed it. And then I transitioned over, kind of started playing the game in Health. I was hard stuck gold my whole time. Like, I was like peaking like gold 2, gold 1. And then I kind of would quit for a couple seasons and come back, and quit for a couple seasons and come back. I'd play Rust, I'd play Counter-Strike, stuff like that. And then I finally, so back in Wind Bastion, which was, that would be last summer now, as of 2020. Summer 2019 would be when I kind of came back. So there was a LAN that I went to in Toronto, and this is when I, so that Wind Bastion season was when I kind of got back in the game. I peaked at Plat 3, so I was basically the best player in the world. Like, no. I don't, there was no one I could compare. So I was like,
I mean,
okay.
Everybody else I see at Pi 3 when I play ranked now is exactly like that.
Yeah, so
the
you're.
Plot ego.
It's, I was basically Bolo. So then I went to this LAN, right? I joined a team there like 2 nights beforehand. We practiced like 2 nights. I'd never played comp in my life, no idea what's going on. I pull up to the LAN. And the first team we play was Jolly, Shima, and 2 or 3 other CL players. And we got absolutely stomped, like 7-1 or something like that. And I had no idea what was going on.
At least you
won
a round.
Yeah, you took one round.
It was actually very funny. So they won their first round, and it's a LAN, right? So there's like, we were all in pretty close proximity. They had their own table, we had our own tables. And we just hear yelling from across the other thing, like they're cheering for themselves. And we're like, what the heck? We were so scared. It was hilarious. And my team, I'd never played with any of these guys before. They were all around Plat 3 or 2. But it was a really fun experience just getting into comp, understanding it. And just like the whole LAN just being there for a day. I think that's part of like why COVID sucks so bad. Not having those LANs.
Especially in like lower tier stuff. Like I can't imagine like the COD community. Because they have so many lands.
Mm-hmm.
Ask AGN.
Yeah.
Oh, I was about to say the same thing, but we're not going to get into that. Oh, boy. But yeah, so then I guess after that land, I quit the game again for the next, like, year. And then end of Shifting Tides, I came back solo queued to gold. That was pretty good. Then
solo queue to gold. That's the accomplishment right there. Solo queuing anything.
So I didn't understand the meta or anything. So then I was like, and then Void Edge. I joined some random T5 team or something. Grimmed like 4 times. And then
that's when you made the first org.
And then so I guess
made Infinity Blade the org.
Oh boy! And then that hit the fan.
And then absorbing my dead org that I had.
Yeah, and then we
Rising Phoenix, the death of the Phoenix.
Yeah. Reborn from the ashes.
Yeah, reborn from the ashes came Synthetic Esports of 2 dead orgs.
Yeah. So then I kind of just, after the org started doing more stuff, I kind of ended up quitting comp because I don't know. Yep. I just didn't want to get on a real team. Well, I did want to, but it's just the time commitment wasn't there. I couldn't dedicate 5 hours a night and have a life outside of that too. When did you kind of phase out of the competitive side in the sense of a player and move into casting?
So I was bouncing around between team to team. We're kind of joking about my story being tragic. And I would always seem to find myself on a roster that was immediately being replaced. So they were desperately looking for players. And IGLs are hard to find. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it was pretty easy for me to attach myself to a roster because everyone's looking for an IGL. And then at this point, I was pretty confident in everything I was doing. I was on the flex role, which in my humble opinion is the best role to have. And if you disagree with me, you're just wrong. So I was always a flex IGL. I mean, Fabian set a perfect example of that style. But yeah, I was kind of bouncing around between Unknown Gaming. I had a tour with BGS for a while, which again, another SCL team. That SCL roster was basically, so BGS was stolen by Bittersweet, which was a CL team. And then the old In Control Nation roster, which some of it you still see now playing today, was BGS. Yep. And then I was the roster that replaced 2 of the best rosters probably that Orgus ever had. And so it was kind of my ragtag team, and we weren't really performing, so I ended up just leaving. They picked up, like, it was just kind of a cluster. I ended up returning back over to Unknown Gaming, and that was kind of like my last real run in the competitive scene. We were pretty decent, but like it just wasn't really the same. We weren't accomplishing what I wanted to accomplish. And then I was starting to cast at the time I was playing with Unknown Gaming. And basically how my casting career started was a complete and utter joke. Like we literally started to cast for a meme. So one of my teammates, he goes by the name of Queso. And basically there's an academy roster and we're like, crap. What are we going to do with this academy roster? Like, they're currently scrimming right now. Like, I have nothing to do. Do you have anything to do? He's like, nah. And I'm like, well, you want to cast this game, right? Then we'll just go back and VOD review thereafter, you know, kind of work their way through it, and we'll just mute ourselves. And then he's like, okay, let's do that. So we cast it. And I was like, I had so much fun doing it. It was a blast. It was terrible. Like, my casting was doo-doo. Holy crap, I was bad. but I had so much fun. I was like, hey, let's do like a mini tournament because our academy roster needs to play people. We have friends that have academy rosters. Let's just have these two. Let's have four academy rosters play each other and we'll cast it. You know, we'll run a production. We'll put it on my Twitch and we'll go from there. And then Queso bails on me like the Friday before we go live. And he's like, yo, I got to work. And I'm like, well, I'm committed to this. So let's just send it. So I did an 18-hour cast that weekend. Terrible cast. I was still terrible at this time. But the most important thing happened. I had an offer from, I believe it was Blackjack from Grimreleague. He's like, hey, I really like your solo casting. You want to join us for a cast this week? I have a couple openings. I'm like, sure. So I cast maybe 3 Grimreleague games that week. And then I have Joey from XTC, which is a dead league, and Green Potato from SCL in my DMs. And he's like, I love your casting. You're going to be casting with us next week. So I was immediately absorbed into XTC. I started being a main caster there on Saturdays with my partner, It's Me Dom. And SCL, I wouldn't have my debut cast because I was a substitute at the time. This is season 3 of SCL, which is back in May. So this is all happening in May. And basically, I was just waiting for my debut in SCL because I wasn't a main time caster. And I finally would have my debut. It was a solo cast because my partner in crime just had internet problems or something, which always seems to be my origin story with starting off casting people just not being able to be there. And it was Unless versus X13, which is why I'm so good friends with the orgs of X13. Jesse over there, shout out to him, because it was my first big cast. It was my first ever cast, so it has a really warm place in my heart. And Unless, if you're not familiar with them, is a complete and utter bananas roster. Like, I don't know what they were doing. They were like a diamond stack that played like silvers and just the most brain dead crap you will ever see. But like, they were Ying Blitz Glaz rushing. This is in May, so Glaz had been severely nerfed, and they would just like on Cafe, they would just drop Skylight every time and obliterate everybody on their gun barrels. It was a 7-5 victory in favor of X13 because Unless was just madness.
Who was on that Unless roster?
I can't remember. Anyone off the top notable? Of my head.
I know. Yes. I know of the org X13. I don't know who was on that team though. Did they get out of Siege?
Yeah. So X13, that roster was relegated. Actually, they weren't relegated. They were top 4 team, if I remember correctly. But they disbanded nonetheless.
In CL.
Same with Agency. Not in CL. X13 had a run there earlier on though. Oh. This was a different roster though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but nonetheless, like, SCL started taking off. I still wasn't a main caster until Sigma, who was Matt's partner in crime, basically bailed. And they're like, hey, Green was like, I have an opportunity for you. Do you want a paid casting gig? You could be one of our 6 men. And I then started casting SCL Fridays. So I was casting 2 days a week. And slowly but surely, I started casting more and more games. And I found myself in a predicament. And it was like, my casting is starting to, you know, I'm starting to cast more and more games. People actually like my style. I don't know if I can commit to both right now, either being a player or being a caster. So I talked to the other org owner, because I'm still a co-owner in Unknown Gaming. We don't participate in Siege, but we participate in other esports still. And I was like, I can't play anymore. And at the time, our main roster was kind of burning out on Siege nonetheless. So we decided, hey, we're going to play 3 more weeks, and we're just going to stop. We're sitting... what league were we playing in? It was a Doodoo S4 league or a T4 league, so it didn't really matter. But we're like, hey, we're sitting at the top leaderboard. We're just going to go till postseason begins and just stop. And so we did that. But sadly, our last game never happened. So basically, the other team forfeited, and I never got like my goodbye game to Siege, which actually I really regret. I wanted to close that chapter on a positive note, and I'm still a little bitter that I never actually got to say goodbye to my comp career.
So what I'm hearing is SCS show match with all the org owners and then Chief on one of the teams.
Yeah, totally.
That's what
where it's just going to be me doing brain dead Valk run out. So that's the thing, right? I don't know if I can ever get back into that true mindset of being a comp IGO, because it takes a lot out of me. Mm-hmm. And that's whenever I play ranked, it's just brain dead monkey strategies. And people get really mad at me when they play ranked with me. But like, I'm very competitive and I can't take it seriously, because the moment I take it seriously, I'm going to go straight back into that competitive mindset, and it's going to be pure just analytical IGLing, and that's taxing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. When I played comp as well, I was IGL. It's just like managing everyone while also playing yourself. and just having people. It's I agree with you on the taxing part. It's just not easy.
So. Yeah. It was just draining. And I did some coaching along too, somewhere through there, which I kind of just highlighted over. I've coached high school water polo and swim. You know, I race cars and I'm actually a driving instructor there as well. So coaching is another thing that's very natural to me because I'm very analytical and I can explain it in non-analytical ways because some people need that, for lack of a better word, that almost like tactile, like brain function where they need it perfectly explained to them. But sometimes they just need it in very layman's terms and just kind of laid out in front of them as easy peasy as it could possibly be.
Yeah. Well, I guess where are you now? Doing right now?
Where am I now? Right now, I'm just enjoying myself. I'm casting 5 days a week, you know, casting CR6, which I absolutely love, and Storm Competitive Series, which I also love. Those are my two big leagues right now. I had a stint with ESA, a short-lived stint, mostly doing EU. I've bounced around between other leagues. SCL was always my home because, you know, Green Potato basically took this nobody caster and that had 0 hours casting and was like, took a huge risk on me, a huge risk. And like, if Green wasn't there, or even if Joey from X13 didn't hear me cast Grim League, I don't think I would have ever been noticed as a caster. I don't want to say it like that. I don't want, it sounds like I have an ego.
Mm-hmm.
But like, maybe it would have been a different change. Maybe I wouldn't have grown as fast as I did. But yeah, I mean, I have to thank those two individuals, both Joey as well as Green, for helping me with my career, as well as Sticula. Honestly, he's been a phenomenal mentor to me from SCL as well, right? I mean, Sticula taught me the ropes. Like, I was making a lot of mistakes. I still do now as a caster, and Sticula was really good at helping me identify, you know, those mistakes, because I think a lot of casters don't have that, like, mentor figure where they just have to learn, you know, through their own mistakes. And why that's a great way of learning, sometimes you just need somebody to point them out to you and you have your epiphany moment.
Do you have any tips for then for new casters, and maybe networking tips, just tips in general when it comes to casting, speaking, any lessons they should take, any just quick tips to get right in?
Be authentic, be yourself. That's the most important thing. Like, don't put up a facade and just truly be yourself. Let whatever personality you have show at 120%. I think that's why some people are really like drawn to how I cast, because I'm very much me. And you know, all the dumb things I say on stream, you know, the really silly jokes, the really bad dad jokes, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think one of my favorite things I've ever said was charge your eyeballs. And I remember looking over to Twitch chat when it rolled through like 3 minutes down the road, and the people were like, what did this man say? Like, this is hilarious, but it's so stupid at the same time. Like, hey, what on earth is this?
You can never knock a dad joke. Okay, that's all I'll ever say. Dad jokes are on another tier. They're never bad. They just make you like, just a little bit, but you know, they get a chuckle at you every time.
Yeah, right. Like, I could hear my co-casters sometimes just like snickering in the background, and that always makes my day. Or the producer who's muted, be like, Chief, that was, what the hell was that? As he's trying to keep back from laughing. We had a joke like that yesterday or Friday with Tango, who is the CR6 producer. He's like, that was pretty good, I'm not gonna lie.
That's funny.
Oh. Yeah, so my advice is basically be yourself, build a brand, you know, whether that's gonna be on, you know, Twitter, or just create a brand, network with yourself, network with teams, network with org owners, you know, try to have everybody recognize your face and recognize your brand. And the biggest mistake that I think a lot of new casters make, and honestly, anybody for that matter, is using filler words, the ums, the ers, the likes. And that's something that a lot of people just struggle with, especially with public speaking. I had a business communications professor that just really just beat the crap out of me every time I'd use a filler word, and just it's been stuck in my brain ever since. So shout out to Dr. Franklin.
Dr. Franklin saving your career before it even started. He's the real one. You mentioned earlier when you were talking about like being a racing instructor, so what kind of like racing do you do? Is it like road racing, track racing, you know, what kind of cars, like, you know, like more highly modified or more like closer to stock, would you say?
So I'm going to have like everyone's eyes just completely glaze over with this. I'm going to be probably dropping things that people like just don't know, because a lot of people don't swim in the racing circle. So I race for a club called SCCA. And here in the West Coast, the division is Cal Club, which if you follow racing at all, especially in the North American scene, every good driver has come through this program, especially back in the day. Less so now, but like if you look at any of the IndyCar drivers from the, you know, the 50s up till probably the 2000s, they all started there. I got into it because my dad started there. He's has way more accolades than I probably ever will in my competitive, you know, racing career, which is actually kind of a downfall sometimes, because it's everybody compares me to him, and it's very frustrating sometimes, because it's like, will I ever actually achieve that? I have some trophies behind me that you could probably see when I cast, but not nearly anywhere close to the amount that he had. But to go back to actually answering your question, I have a spec racer Ford, the third generation of that car. It's basically a prototype car with less downforce. It has a stock engine. It's a 1.6 Ford Sigma, which came out of the Ford Focuses in 2006, I believe. Five-speed box on it, so still the H pattern. It's a very hard car to drive. It has a lot of quirks to it. It's a very unique car, and that's really what makes it a fun car. It's one of the biggest classes too, so you're always racing with somebody.
Is that the open wheel one?
It is technically, so it's technically not an open wheel, because the wheels have the bodies closed around it, but it is an open cockpit car.
Okay, yep. Okay, I know exactly what you're talking about. I do like watch some racing. All my buddies are big into cars and stuff, so I was trying to imagine what you were seeing you in one of those.
I'll drop the car in, you know, the server, but obviously when you're listening to this back, you're not going to see it, which is a sad thing, but you can just picture it. It's a bright yellow banana car with some red on it. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, the banana mobile.
Yeah, we'll put any of the links or anything in footnotes.
Yeah, cool. We'll just drop it there. Yeah, there's some videos which I might share too. It's all unlisted, but I can always just drop that through. All
right.
So, I think this was a successful first cast with you.
Cast.
Do you got any podcast. Any closing words that you want?
Any shout-outs? Any specific
shout-outs?
Any shout-outs? Yeah, shout-outs.
Chief Cast on Twitter?
Yeah, Chief Cast on Twitter. Well, I always say, well, give some love to the org. Give some love to your support staff. So I have to give love to CR6. Always to Storm Competitive Series, because they're really growing. I know we weren't going to talk that much about them today because... well, there might be some other individuals sledding on through. They'll give a little bit more insight. But I just have to say thank you for all the support I've gotten throughout my casting. It honestly warms my heart when somebody, you know, adds me on Twitter or DMs me. It's like, that was such a phenomenal cast, especially over in CR6, where like in T3, you kind of know everybody. Everybody knows you. But in CR6, like, you know, you're going against colleges from across, you know, the country. And it's, you know, you make new friends along the way. And it's just nice to network and chat with those individuals. And like all the warm like comments I've had, especially over the past few weeks starting over there, is like, it just makes my day, puts a smile on my face. So I just have to say thank you to each and every one of you like along the way. I have no idea what the future of Chief holds. You know, people are like, Chief, when are you going to go to T2? No idea. Right now, I just enjoy being me. I enjoy casting. And, you know, if I stay as a T3 caster, you know, for the rest of my life, I'm fine because I enjoy it. If I go to T2, I'll just have just as much fun as I did in T3.
What's the dream? Racing or casting? The dream.
Ooh, what's the dream? This is a question that I've debated internally for a very long time. Like if I got the call to, you know, hypothetically to go to Poland, you know, to be a, you know, PL caster. I mean, of course I'd take it, but I mean, that means goodbye road racing, but maybe not. Maybe I can race, you know, in the UK.
There's a lot of European leagues.
Yep.
So.
I mean, I was
once called them as snowmobiles.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I was one of, you know, 20 people to get nominated for a potential scholarship. They only accept two. And I didn't get accepted in the end, but it was nice to actually have my name in the hat at least. And that was to race in the UK. So, I mean, there's stuff out there, you know, I mean,
when you think about it, Chief, you know, they may compare you to your dad for racing, but you know, when they compare you to him for casting, you're winning.
That is true, but he's had some TV and commercial showing, so I don't know.
Yeah, but that's good. Commercials. That's not casting every day of the week.
That is true. All right, I'll accept that. I like the way you think, my friend.
You gotta take those W's where you can get them.
take my L's and take my W's. Oh, it was funny that my parents actually watched my first ever, or watched a cast for the first time. I think it was on Friday. It was one of the Sierra 6 games, and it was a pretty good cast. I was glad they watched one of those instead of one of my doo-doo casts. And honestly, actually, we're talking about good life advice and good tips. Be your own worst critic or your own harshest critic. This should go in everything you do. You know, if you're an IGO or if you're a player, you know, be very critical of yourself. Learn from your mistakes, right? And that's something I'm very hard on myself for a caster. Like, people, I've had this like, wow, Chief, that was your best cast you've ever done. I'm like, really? That was terrible. That was absolutely dog crap, right? Like, I mean, but that's the thing is I'm going to be always very hard on myself because that's how I learn as a person. And that's always what you should do.
That's
right?
Just learn the best way to grow, mistakes. Too.
You can always do better, right? I always try to give like 120% in everything I do. And, you know, if I gave 105%, that's not good enough for me, right? It could still be great. It could still be good. But was it the best? Every cast I should have was my best. That's the way I look at it. And every game I should play and every race I do should be my best. And if it's not, it wasn't good enough. I have to go back to the drawing board and change it.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for coming on our first ever podcast at Synthetic, The Simulation. And hopefully we'll maybe see you again in the later future if anything exciting happens.
Yeah, when the Synthetic Esports is Tava SCS, you know.
Oh, boy.
The old Yup Flopperosh is going to be winning all the way.
Oh, boy.
Well, my friends, thanks for having me. And as we always say with Yup Floppa, they always deliver the mic droppa, and hopefully Synthetic does exactly that.
Hopefully.
Yeah.